on Jesus.
This is Roderick Owensby. I am going to be talking to you about the imagination. You would be surprised how the enemy will destroy our lives through the thought process. So I want you to tell everybody to call 818-431-8553. I have some things that I want to impart to you. We're taking some time from the Tabernacle of David, and we will resume it shortly. Very important study, so stay tuned to us concerning the Tabernacle of David. But as I was praying today, I was inspired by God to deal with the mindset, the imagination. Don't you know when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, it set off a chain of spiritual chaos in man. It set off an imagination that, have you ever wondered that why you try so hard to do good and yet evil is present? And of course, the scripture says it is. But do you not know that there is a way out? There is a way out and a way in to abundance. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to what? To do three things, kill, steal, and destroy. Then Jesus said, I've came to do things, to give you life, and that you might have it, life, more abundantly. So he came to give us life, life, abundance. And this is why when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he said, listen, you must be born again. Nicodemus did not understand the language, the principles of Jesus. And he said, how can I enter it a second time into my mother's womb? and be born. Jesus said you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. The imagination. Stay with me. It's a powerful, powerful insight. Powerful.
Somebody wave your hand and thank God for grace tonight. Wondrous grace. Spectacular grace. Extraordinary. Incredible grace. It helped me. It touched me. It fixed me. It blessed me. It changed me. A witness.
Kirk, I need to speak to Bishop.
Sure, hold on.
Alright.
Hello?
Hey, I got some stuff I need to talk to you about. Lately, Pastor, I've been having all these crazy kind of dreams. It's hard to sleep, I can't eat. It's scary, you know?
I know what you mean.
I mean, ever since that Tuesday, seemed like life is getting real strange.
I hear you.
Shoot, anthrax, terrorist attacks, and I ain't even trying to get on no plane.
I feel you.
And you know, when I try to pray, there's this voice telling me that God's not real.
You know that's just the enemy.
Yeah, but you ain't feeling me.
No, son, I know just how you feel. See, just because I preach and teach don't mean I don't get scared sometimes.
Yeah, whatever, but you TD Jake.
Well, then I don't make mistakes.
Well,
then let me tell you what's on my mind. When your smile is gone.
Yeah, but I feel so alone.
Although your heart is heavy, I'll say
every burden I will bear.
See, but you don't know
my pain.
I'm getting so sick and tired of all
this.
Just got laid off and I topped it off the rent's due. So tell me what I gotta gain.
Well, see, trials come to me.
You strong.
Storms won't
last long.
But how can I trust God in all this mess?
Well, see, that's the reason for the song. See, wherever you go, that's one thing you got to know. God is right there by your side.
With a mantle for a
night. And he told me to tell you everything.
Everything's gonna be alright.
So thank you for calling. It's always good to hear from you.
Yeah, but
I gotta go now.
Wait a minute.
I have another call online too.
But I ain't through. See, I'm sick and tired of all these church folk talking about stuff ain't as bad as it seems. See, y'all don't feel my pain.
I don't have pain.
I don't say hi, you're on the cover of Time magazine.
See, but you're looking at now, and you don't know how I struggled and what I've been through.
Yeah, whatever.
Now you cross the line.
I'm just speaking my mind.
Okay, so let me speak mine too. I've had some mountains, I've seen some valleys, I've even had to cry sometimes. Back when I lost my mother.
Your mother?
My mother.
I'm sorry.
No, son, it's fine. Life is full of ups and downs, but God said the storm won't last long.
But how'd you make it through?
Boy, I thought you knew. It was his love that kept me strong.
When your smile is gone, I feel so alone.
Although your heart is heavy, God said.
Yeah, but see, y'all don't feel my
pain.
And I'm getting very sick and tired of all this. Just got laid off and to top it off the rinse due. So tell me, Bishop, what I gotta get.
Didn't I tell you trials come to me? And those old storms.
But how can I trust God in the midst of all this mess?
See, that's the reason for this song. Wherever you go, there's something you got to know. God still cares.
We've been made to for a
He told me to tell you.
Everything's gonna be alright.
Well, thank you, Pastor.
Anytime.
I think I can make it now. Just tell me what I need to do.
Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Father.
Father.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Please help me.
Please help me.
I love you.
I love you.
I need you.
I need you.
Hold me.
Hold me.
Jesus.
Jesus.
My heart.
My heart.
My soul.
My soul.
Please take
me. Please take
control.
Control.
Right now.
Right now.
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 Now. You ain't got
right
no
now.
Smile.
And even when you feel so alone.
Your heart is heavy.
And even in the midst of all of you, and when you're sick and tired of all the rain, remember that the rain won't last always. And in Christ Jesus, you got so much to gain.
You see, the trials come to make it, and the storms won't last.
Remember, my brother, my sister, it's only temporary.
See, that's the reason for this song. Wherever you go,
that's something you've got to know.
God is still there.
We've been made
for me.
him and I'm super foreign.
God is
we will go for it.
We will go for it.
Keep those hands clapping. Come on, let's say it again.
The invisible to be seen. It's a matter of faith that makes us clean and in the beam by the spirit of the King of Kings. Huh. We go forth by the power of grace and face to face. We embrace the holiest place. So get your head in the clouds, cause the time is now. We vow to go ahead and just show the power.
Yeah.
It's time for the body to step into the unknown and the core promotion to take back what's been disowned. Worship is not clone. We see meaningless songs in the powerless attempt to be God in the throne. But the body knows us more. That's who we yearn for. We experience with the King that we've never seen before. Untouched territory, faith is mandatory. If we want to see a natural manifestation of the glory.
Rivers to flow in you. Hallelujah. Touch somebody, say, let the rivers flow.
Somebody tell me, show the world.
Praise God.
Pressures in life, and so many reasons to throw in the towel. But when I feel like I'm losing this fight, consolation from heaven comes clearly to me to remind me to remind. Nothing else matters than seeing you, Jesus, seeking the Master, the one who reigns over my life. Nothing else matters than seeing you. At your feet, hear your voice clearly speak, lift me out of sleep, for in you I'm complete. It reminds me that nothing else matters. Oh, nothing. And there's so many mountains discouraging you. Just don't focus on yesterday's loss. Consolation from heaven will come clearly to you. Consolation from the Father, it will come to you. Consolation from the Father, it will come to you. To remind you, to remind you that nothing else matters than seeing you, Jesus, oh Lord, seeking the Master, the one who over my life, nothing else matters, oh yeah, than seeing you, Jesus. Just to sit at your feet, hear your voice release, lift me out of sleep, for in you I believe. It reminds that nothing else matters. Broken before you, I need to receive a present from heaven, and I will not leave till you touch me, oh Lord, I pray. I need you every day with all of my heart. I believe that you are all I ever want. You're all I ever need. Nothing else matters. Nothing you, Jesus. Seeking the Master. Oh, the one who reigns over my
Hi, my name is Elisha William Owensby. My dad will be with you shortly. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Be strong and of good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. May observe to do according to all that is written therein, and you shall have good success. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's my dad.
The human mind. I want you to think about this for a minute. There's a reason why God gave us a brain. Yes. And more than a brain, there's a reason why we have in that brain, in that mind, an imagination. Now, our physical brain is like our physical body. Our physical body houses our physical mind or brain. Now, our physical brain houses our spiritual mind, which is the imagination, the image, the nation that's in us. You see, when God spoke to Abraham, he said, he spoke to Abraham about a nation of people. God spoke to Abraham, changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And I really want you to get this. There is a powerful reason why God imagined you and I. And so many people that I talk to around, literally around the world, everyone has the same issues. And every act of man is due to the image that is in him or her. Notice something. I want to go to, first of all, Genesis 3. I want you to notice something, not with a religious tone. I just want you to hear it openly and by the Spirit of God. And I want you to notice something. Now, everybody heard this story of Eve, Adam and Eve, the fall of man. In chapter 3 of Genesis, it says, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. First of all, God made everything. Let's get it straight, good and evil. One scripture tells us, I, the Lord, created good and evil. So, and I want to candidly say this. There's no use of any believer, any Christian, any person that is trying to become one with God to be upset with, first of all, wicked and evildoers. Second of all, to be upset with evil. You turn evil around and it spells live. So inside out, live. Outside in, evil. Now hear this. Hear this. And today, you know, we've been talking about the Tabernacle of David, which is a powerful study, and we will resume that. And even that study deals with God in us. You know, we have become the Tabernacle of David. Now, in order for us to understand where God is taking us and has taken us, and as we go through this process and we run into turbulences in the spirit realm, and we deal with people who really are blocking the progress of God, and in the religious world is nothing, is full of war. Anyhow, people are fighting for status, spiritual status and position, and so see, that is called confusion. You got to understand whether you are in a house of confusion or a house of peace. Now, here is Satan uses the imagination of Eve. It's amazing how the enemy uses the mind of the Christian, of the person, of any person. He uses one thing and one thing only. He suggests what he wants us to think. And through that suggestion, man fell. Watch this. The word subtle here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast, keep that in mind, beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. Excuse me. Now the word subtle here is not a negative, but rather positive. You say, how's that? Everything that God made before the fall was positive. It describes qualities such as quickness of sight, swiftness of motion, activity of self. Okay, seemingly intelligence, adaptation to its surroundings. You know, you can go into a place you've never been, but we are able to adapt very quickly to our surroundings. Now, understand something. There's no use of getting upset with this beast, because the beast was being what? A beast. In other words, the beast in us is what? Our carnal nature. You know, there's a definition of the carnal mind. It is described as a meat-eating animal. Yes, we all in the flesh are meatheads. Now, listen, don't get offended. Study it and you'll find out. Isn't sin a result of a meathead? This is why Jesus sent his disciples away. He said, go get me a meal. Go get me some meat. They went and they went afar and they brought back Jesus from the marketplace some food, some meat. Jesus looked at them and said to them, my meat is to do the will of the Father. Meat, substance, purpose. So the carnal mind, one time, a good example of this, ladies and gentlemen, was when Jesus called Peter Satan. Wow, amazing. How would you like God to call you Satan? But see, he was talking about the meathead Peter, because Jesus was getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And look at this. And that meathead Peter wanted to stop Jesus, but he wasn't thinking. He wasn't thinking about the fact this was prophecy to be fulfilled. So Jesus looked at him and said, Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. He was not so much talking to Peter. He explained that when he said, Peter, your thinking is not accordance to the will of God and to the purpose by which I came. So therefore, your thinking is likened unto Satan. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is very important. We're talking about the imagination. The most powerful thing that you have, it's a powerful thing, and that is the thought process, the imagination. Every decision that we make, everything that we do, ladies and gentlemen, is a result, good, bad, evil. It is a direct result of what we think, our thought process. You know, if it takes us forever to do the simplest thing, it's because the thought process has an issue, has a problem. Now watch this. The first attack was against the imagination of this woman. Ultimately against mankind. And he said, the beast now, in the garden, and he said unto the woman, watch this, yes, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Look at this. This serpent had the ability before the fall to speak think about it. He had the ability of limited speech. Even Eve did not seem surprised when he spoke to her. I mean, think about it. Neither do we. The great comedian Flip Wilson used to say, "The devil made me do it." And I done went back on some of y'all, might not even be old enough to remember, but he used to say, "The devil made me do it." We don't even act surprised. I've seen folks stand up and testify in church. You know, the devil told me to do this and that. I mean, they talk about it like it is a natural, like they have a natural conversation with Satan, to the point they know his voice. Christians, think about it, know his voice. They know the voice of Satan. Eve was not surprised at the fact that the serpent spoke. Now watch what happens. This is what the beast said. He said, yes, God did say this. Or did he say this? He said, yes, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You see, the serpent evidently lent his mind to Satan. You know, it's like the serpent gave his mind, this beast, over to Satan. Now watch this. Even though the evil one is not mentioned here, that being the case, Satan spoke through the serpent and questioned the word of God. Think about it. Verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, now she's having a conversation. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Eve quoted what the Lord said, didn't she? But then added, neither shall you touch it. She added to it. He said, don't eat it. You know, if you eat something, you're touching it. But see, that's the way the carnal mind is. We want to make God more credible. We're trying to make God, even Moses. Moses said, what shall I say to the people? What is your name? You know, because the name meant something. Moses' name meant taken out of water. Everybody who name, I tell parents all the time, when you have a child, please don't give them a crazy off-the-wall name, because that's prophetic. You're prophesying to that child when you name that child. You are giving them purpose and destiny. So it's important to pray to the Holy Spirit what to name your child. Now watch this. And then God said to Moses, Moses said, what am I going to tell the people? God said to Moses, he said, tell them I am that I am. In other words, God doesn't need any description of himself. He's God. Tell them I am what I am. You know, if we just be what we are, the world would be a better place. But now we, all of us, we try to be more than what we are. We try to qualify God. You can't qualify God. The word says we're justified by faith. We're not qualified. I heard a preacher say that God will qualify you. Wrong. God qualifies nothing. He will justify, because God said, he that cometh to me must believe that I am. It is impossible to please God except by faith. So faith doesn't qualify you. Faith justifies you. Now watch what happens. And the serpent, verse 4 of Genesis 3, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. He proclaims an outright denial of God's word. No, you won't die. Come on. God says to the husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I don't have to. God says to the wife, submit to your husband. I'm not talking about slavery. In other words, when God says to the wife, submit, he's talking about submit to the purpose of family. He tells a man to submit to God's purpose of the family covenant. So I'm not talking no junk here. Okay? He tells there's a function for both man and woman, husband and wife, children. But legalism, feminism, all kind of gossips going around that they're called gospels. And people are saying, I don't have to do that. You know, the verse, the chapter, Isaiah chapter 30, read it sometimes. I think around the verse 10, the 10th verse, the people were saying to the prophets, don't see, see not, prophesy deceits. You know, false prophets are beasts. Anytime someone prophesies to you that you have to sow a certain amount of money to get a miracle, that's witchcraft. Did I say that? Yes, I did. That's witchcraft. If miracles cost money, then poor folk are in trouble. Did I say that? Yes, I did. I love you. Every pastor, every preacher, hear me. God never meant for any man to stand up and tell the people what to give. Paul wrote as an apostle, let every man give according to their own purpose. Make up in your own mind what you want to give. It's a free offering. It's like I present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. When you present yourself to God, that's holiness. That's all holiness is. You present yourself to God. So instead of this woman presenting herself to God, she presented herself to the beast. And man has partaken of the beast nature ever since. People looking for 666. 666 is the number of the full matured carnal man. We've saw glimpses of it in history. You know, there have been people arise with such great power manifesting even as all of the prophets was a manifestation of Christ to come. And even Jesus appeared all through from the beginning to the end of the word of God. So it is with Satan, counterfeit. There's been people who will rise. They arise up and they will have strong evil powers and will control millions of people. You know your history. Well, you have to understand this thing. This is big. And it boils down to this. The mind is the most dangerous atomic power on earth. The mind. Yes. The mind. Think about it. Now, here in verse 5, Genesis 5, for God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Suggests the attainment of higher wisdom. Man been trying to get it ever since. The Tower of Babel. This beast was saying to this woman, oh, see, God knows that if you do this, really what it boils down to, if you disobey, the only reason God wants you to, I'm going to show you the doctrine of Satan. The only reason God wants you to obey him is because he doesn't want you to have the same power and authority that he has. So to Satan, the doctrine of Satan is obedience is actually God's way of keeping man from attaining higher wisdom. Hear it now. And he uses disobedience to attain something that man, get this, already had. Eve was already beautiful, but the beast showed her a reflection of who she could be. Y'all got to get this. A reflection of who she could be, but it was actually what she already was. See, Satan will sell you and deceive you in the process. Think about it now. Satan will sell you. You are already an overcomer. But Satan will come along with his old self, with his packaged, and the people he uses. You know, I saw a preacher one time. He was talking, and he was calling himself prophesying, and he was telling this woman, if you give $100, that husband that you've been, after he asked her was she single, he asked her for $100. This crap has been going on for hundreds of years. He said, if you give this $100 in 100 days, God's going to send you your husband. This little silly Willie believed it and put the money in this false prophet's hand, and she shouted all over the church with her slow self. Yeah, I mean what I'm saying. Now, 100 days passed, 200, 300, still no husband. Well, something's wrong with that picture. First of all, she tried to buy a husband. Isn't that a whore? A gigolo? Come on, I mean, if you can buy one, my God. And if he only costs $100, why would you want him? That's like a one-night stand. Come on. And so this poor child believed this man. Now he's $100 richer off of the ignorance of God's people. He was trying to sell her something that she already had. The promises of God are yea and amen. God never told anybody to seek a husband or wife. Oh, now God said, "He that finds, you happen to find." You know what? The best thing to find is when you're not looking for it. Did I say that? Yes, I did. The best thing to find is something that you're not looking for. It's such a surprise, such a exuberant feeling you get. When I found this money, or I found this diamond, or I found... Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, understand this. This false prophet was like the beast trying to sell God. I don't care. I was offered one time to go on television and to help raise some money. I turned it down. Even back then, I sat with a great, well-known preacher. Not greater than Jesus, but known far as on earth. I refused. Why? I'm no greater than anybody else. But I tell you what, a lot of preachers can't hang. They'll go off the air. Come on. They'll go off. They don't want to listen to this. You know why? You going to a church like that and somebody trying to sell you God, something wrong with you. I'm not speaking against anybody. I'm speaking against a false teaching and a false doctrine that doesn't have breath until somebody breathes life into it. So I'm actually speaking against something that is dead. But many of you preachers got to stop resurrecting these dead things. You can't sell God. You can't sell a miracle in the name of sowing seeds. Let's start raising offerings of love. Now, what does that have to do with the beast and the imagination? Everything. Watch this. As this beast takes this woman in the garden down a road that she shouldn't be in. Watch this. By the beast's very nature, he is totally separated from all that is good. Now watch this. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree, here comes this imagination, this image that was put in Eve. Verse 6 of Genesis 3. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the eyes. Number one, he got her in the eye. He slapped the dead in her eyes. And when the woman saw, he opened her eyes to a false imagination. And when the woman saw, he opened Eve, the beast opened Eve's eyes, to sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. He introduces sight, not the light, sight. You say, well, if she couldn't see, we've been walking around blind. No, the spiritual sight is faith. Before the fall, we walked simply by faith. Example, Peter saw Jesus in a boat. Jesus was walking on the waters. For a moment there, Jesus, the second Adam, a quickening spirit, quickened Peter. And not only could he make eyeballs and heal the blind, he gave Peter something that Adam possessed. Watch this. He said, Peter, step out of the boat, come to me. Right at that moment, Peter was transformed from the natural sight into the spiritual sight. In other words, his sight was changed back to spiritual sight, which is faith. Mm-hmm. That's how man saw. That's why God says everything has to be faith. The world was made by, not by sight, but by faith. Peter stepped out, walked on the water. He didn't see water. He saw faith, which was Christ. The moment fear came in and the reality of what he was doing, he began to sink. But as long as he kept his eyes on faith, he who is faith. See, when you say, Lord, increase my faith, you're saying increase Jesus. This stuff is powerful. You think someone will come from heaven and die, give up his life, if spiritual life wasn't worth it? Now, number one, verse 6, Genesis 3 and 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food. This is the lust of the eyes. And that it was pleasant to the eyes. Pleasant. Self-gratification. The lust of the flesh. When a man can't honor his wife, that's the lust of the flesh. When a woman can't honor her husband, that's the lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. When people kill, rape, steal, lie, gossip, accuse folk, that's the lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes. Now hear this. I love everybody I'm speaking to. It's as though I can see you in the spirit. Our imagination is the garden. Hear it. If we don't see ourselves the way God sees us, man, you can't pay attention to folk, family folk, other folk, work folk, political folks, folks over here, folks over there. No, we got to get an imagination. And our imagination better line up with God. In other words, what does God have to say about me? Who am I? He said he is that he is. Who am I? The scripture says, as he is, so are we. God, I feel a shout coming on. Yes, I do. As he, who? Christ, Yahweh, Elohim, the I am. As he is, so are we. You mean to tell me there's a divine exchange? Satan was after one thing. He knows this. He can never get the nature of God ever again. But he also knows this. If man get it, he has no work. Satan's job is to, it's almost like Jacob and Esau. Esau was hungry. What are you hungry for? To be like who? And for a meal, Esau sold his birthright. Listen to this. So number one, she saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the eyes. She saw that it was pleasant to her eyes, lust of the flesh, and a tree. Get this third one. This is dangerous. This is an evil setup. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. Everybody's smart. Man is so smart. I'm going to tell you how smart man is. I saw this the other day. A person was walking across the street, and the car kind of sped up. You know, when you get your license, it says slow down for pedestrians. I saw another car. Some geese was walking across the street, and there was about three or four cars. Everybody stopped. Now, we have three puppies, love animals. But let me explain something to you. When has man become so cold until life, human beings, are less than animals? I'm not dealing with any animal groups. Come on, listen to this. Human beings are the priest of all creation. Yes. Now, I'm not for harming any animal, so don't get retarded on me now. I love you, because you know some folks don't hear right. What I am saying, like the car, the same car will slow down for an animal, but will endanger a human being, though they themselves are human, and they would not want to see anybody doing that to their child. Something is wrong. When the value of life drops, man becomes a beast. Isn't it amazing that Saul, in the New Testament, the word says while he was on his way to Damascus, he saw a light, not sight, a light that blinded his sight. The word says knocked him off of his beast. Starting at Acts, the 9th chapter, he had to be knocked off of his beast. Nebuchadnezzar had to be knocked off of his beast. Now watch this, verse 7. Now, verse 6. A tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. So we have here the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. She took the fruit thereof and did eat. It constitutes the fall of man. And gave also unto her husband, and he did eat. This refers to the fact that evidently Adam was an observer to all these proceedings. Some claim that he ate of the forbidden fruit which she offered him out of love for her. Listen, however, no one ever sins out of love. So let's wipe that out now. He didn't do this in the name of love. Eve submitted to the temptation of the deception of the enemy, of the beast. But Adam was not deceived. We can try to put women down all day. But Adam wasn't deceived. He knew what he was doing. This is not a male or female issue. Some try to make it, but not with this king. Listen to this. Adam was not deceived. He fell because of unbelief. He simply didn't believe what God had said about the situation. Contrast verse, also in the book of Luke, both present, matter of fact, Luke the 4th chapter, verse 1 through 13. I may not be able to read it right now, but listen, both presents the three temptations. Number one, the lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. The first man falls, the second man conquered. Your first man, hear me, has become the carnal nature. That's your first man. That is your first man. I pray God let me continue this tomorrow. But the second man is the renewed mind, the spirit. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Bless God forever. I encourage everyone. You're living in the greatest time of your life. Tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern, and we'll continue. I'm going to tell all of the listeners across the world, call your friends, tell them we're going to be dealing with this mind right before we get back into the tabernacle of David. But I want to help bring us into the right vein of thought so that we can be what we already are, the tabernacle of David. We're going to continue the imagination. Whatever you think, you become. As we think, so are we. Okay, if you think you're evil, you are. If you think you're good, you are. After accepting Jesus, the blood of the cross, believing that he rose from the dead, now you're just in the door. You notice David didn't even deal with the outer court, the inner court. He took the people straight into the holies of holies. And this is where we are now. This is where we are now. There's so much I would like to say. Stay with me. I will be right back. Here's my queen and I. A king and his queen, part one. I'll be back in a moment. This is Roderick Owensby.
My darling, I came from a far country, searching to find that one person that would heal my wounds from the war that I've endured. I was like a wounded lion in a great field of despair, but you found me. I saw you when you came on your chariot with your servants, with your mighty men of war and your great council. As I looked over, as I lay there dripping in blood, you came over. As your men stood by and your servants watched, wondering why would you pause a great journey that you were on? Why would you stop and see about this man, this lion that was wounded?
Grateful that I saw a lamb and I had the resources to come and aid. But only when I got there did I see that this lamb is a great lion. And the strength that I saw, even though he was wounded, there was such strength in his face, such magnitude and prestige upon who he is. I looked upon this king and picked him up, looked into his face and longingly and lovingly. I'll help you in this walk. Where are we going? I'll follow. I'll leave my chariot. I'll leave my kingdom. Kingdom is nothing if there's not a king there to serve. How do I serve this king? Lovingly, compassionately, with great honor. So I am grateful that now you, who were once laying in despair, are now strong and walking in great vigor, great prestige and honor. And the weight of the glory comes from you. Teach your people, lead the people into all of the gratitude that you have towards your Maker. I love you.
I love you too. I wonder, my queen, my dove, what was I thinking or dreaming or had visions about when the great God created you? Where were my thoughts? What was in my subconscious and my conscious mind? And then all of a sudden I awaken out of a deep slumber, a deep sleep, and I saw you. My womb has came alive. Woman, I said. Woman, I said. Woman. My great helper. You are such a help to me, likened unto the Holy Spirit that comes to help us when I am despaired about life's complex situations. I look upon thee and I see a beauty that is not just one dimensional, but I see three dimensions of love. My dear, I found favor in you. What is marriage without your favor, my queen? I praise you for simply being you.
And I honor you for being you. It is good to be with you. It is easy to be with you. You are a delight. As I delight myself in God, He gives me the desires of my heart. You are the desire of my heart. Thankful that you are here. Thankful that you share. Thankful, my King, that you're always and forever being you, the man of God, the man that makes the woman who I am. Thankful that you are the man of God who leaves the people to who they are. Thankful I am, oh man.
Oh man, oh husband, remember her. Remember, she is your womb. And when you touch her, remember, she is your womb. When you hold her and when you kiss her lips softly and gently, remember, she is your womb. When you care for her, adore her, look at her, the makings of your womb. For I love thee, my love. I know myself through my love for thee. The church has a new meaning since I found thee. Out of you comes many nations, many valleys, many mountains. For the whole earth reveals the woman. From the buds on the tree, to the sounds in the forest, to the light that shines by day and light that shines by night, to the seasons, to every rain that drops from the seas, to the mountains, to the galaxies afar. Woman, my queen, I love thee more than I've ever loved anyone.
Hi, my
my name is Elisha William Ornsey. My dad will be with you shortly. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Be strong and of good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and you shall have good success. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's my dad.
And the eyes of them both were open. Listen to this. This refers to the consciousness of guilt as a result of sin. The consciousness of guilt keeps man in sin. I'm going to say that again. The consciousness of guilt keeps man in sin. And guilt is a bad habit. Guilt is a bad habit. Have you ever been around people who try to make you feel guilty because of your sin? Because of your sins? You have people like that all up in the church. Shouting, dancing, speaking in tongues, stomping their feet, pulling down strongholds. You're not pulling down a stronghold until you shut your mouth. The greatest stronghold is that mouth. The word of God said hell hath enlarged herself. The tongue is an unruly member. You're not destroying a stronghold until you participate in the revival I call hush. 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 Somebody's calling my name. Are you getting this? You ever seen some people, they speak in tongues? How can you speak in tongues and then dog out your brothers and sisters? That's a forked tongue. Now, we're not dealing with spiritual correction, which you get on this broadcast. But we're talking about speaking against someone, slandering them, trying to destroy their influence. What God is doing nowadays, you could talk against those who God has anointed all day. It's not going to affect the momentum of the glory of God. That time is over where people could just say stuff and just think they can just tab somebody's reputation because of what they say. Because you know what people are doing now? Let me tell you something. Let me give you some wisdom, ladies and gentlemen. If a dog bring you a bone, follow him. A dog that brings you a bone, a person that brings you gossip, follow them. Guess what you're going to find? You're going to find that they have a whole bunch of bones. Yeah, hidden. About themselves. Skeletons. About themselves. Closet full of bones. But they spend their time dogging out others. You can have an evil eye. You can look at folks with an evil eye. Come on. You can't increase the kingdom of Satan and then say you on the kingdom of God. You with the kingdom of God. We have a whole lot of Christians in the workplace act just like other folk, with a dog-eat-dog mentality. Seeing who they could dog out to make themselves look good. That's old, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you something worse than a gossiper. The one who protects the gossiper. Child, I got something to tell you. Who said it? I can't tell you that. Come on now. You need to take a break from speaking in tongues and try repentance. No. imagination. Because out of your mouth comes your imagination. You can have an imagination of running down people. Then your father is Satan. Satan is the what? Accuser of the brethren. And let me say something. Mothers, fathers. I don't know why some people think mothers can't do wrong. We done took this thing, honor your mother. Yes, honor your mother, but listen, mama can sin just like everybody else. Mothers need to repent. Fathers need to repent. Because you grown, your repentance is not over. But see, there's a false doctrine that's been taught in certain families that mothers are always right. That's a big, fat lie. Mothers are not always right, neither are fathers. Everybody just need to humble themselves. That's why God said, if my people, mamas, fathers, granddaddies, grandmothers, uncles, nephews, cousins, preachers, apostles, prophets, glory to God, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. I repent of my wicked ways. I repent now before the whole nation. Anybody want to follow me? I repent of my sins, my wicked ways. I turn. It takes humility to pray. It takes humility to repent. Repentance means change your mind. Follow me as I follow Christ. It won't hurt you. Be back in a moment.
Blog Talk Radio. Jesus.
It's the truth.
Five people get saved every 5 years and you a soldier.
True.
I'm a soldier. Come on in, y'all. I'm a soldier. We're going to lift the offering. I know it ain't that many people here.
That is true.
If they go crazy, deacon, go to the pastor. And the pastor said, how much we get? We got $5. We'll raise five more offerings.
Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all. Come on, God's been good to you. These people are on welfare. And you still talking about, wait a minute, somebody said to me the other day, well, you can't afford not to pay tithes. Oh, hush. You know what I tell them? You know what I tell them? Watch this. I can't afford to be robbed.
Right.
And you know, you watch this. You always have those loyal people. I'm calling in because I heard he was a false prophet. Now I know. Why you was paying your tithes? Okay, watch this. Watch. You lose your job and you go to that church and you say, I need a loan.
Okay, tell it.
Listen to me.
Tell it.
You go to that church and say, I need a loan. You know what they're going to say? You're going to be alone. All by myself.
Amen. Teach you.
Teach you. I'm having fun by myself. I ain't studying, y'all.
Come on.
Y'all get it?
Come on. Yes. It's the truth.
Well, the church, you've been paying tithe for 20 years, and you mean to tell me I need help with my light bill. Well, you better go to the welfare office.
Yeah, I'm a witness. That's the truth.
Are y'all listening?
Yeah.
Y'all listening?
Yes.
You better go to the welfare.
That's the truth.
Blog Talk Radio.
One woman came to me in a revival one time, and she said, if I gave you $1 million, would you, could you seem to tell the truth? She said, if I gave you, she put her head to the side and put her hand on the hip. She said, men of God. She said, God. If I gave you $1 million, would you still rebuke me? I said, mother, even the more, even the more.
Blog Talk Radio.